Okay. Happy Valley City Council work session for October 15th, 2019 will come to order. Any clarifying questions or anything on the agenda coming up for the meeting tonight? Nope. Okay, first order of business. Oh, Counselor Gregg.
Just real quick question. You're talking about that easement in the park.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about the building that's being removed, or just the one for the antenna there?
The intent, where the tower is.
Tower.
Right.
Basically, the easement goes from that out to, what is that, park?
Parkway.
Parkway.
Okay,
Parkway.
I'm good. Okay, that's just clarification.
Okay, that's it?
That's it.
All right, we'll move on to the first order of business, PERS Employer Incentive Fund, Mr. Tuck.
All right, so Senate Bill 1049 was passed in the last session and signed into law. And basically what it does is it put $100 million into the Employer Incentive Fund and is intended to be a match for cities or organizations to put their money in, and then a portion of that can be matched by this fund. Mr. Warnke put together some financials for your review, and he'll go over those. And if the council wants to go forward with this, what we'll have to do is we'll have to come back probably at your next meeting, and we'll do a supplemental budget, moving money from the general operations reserve, and then put it into a line that can pay this. As you may recall, some of you in the past, we had a PERS reserve fund in the general fund that we carried for a number of years, and then we rolled that into the general operations reserve. So if we were to do this and pull funds from that account or that fund, then it would be basically a one-to-one. That's originally what it was put in there for. So turn it over to Mr. Warnke and go through the materials.
Thank you. That was a good recap of the Senate bill, and that was $100 million that they allotted for these matches. The first phase of that matching was October through December, and that's for employers that have greater than 200% unfunded liability compared to their total payroll. So the more employers that are worse off, basically, had the first go at it of the $100 million available. Starting December 2nd is when we have that access. Currently, there's $85 million left. So I'm assuming that there would be funds available for us. But it is a good idea, I think, to jump on it when our window opens, if we do think it's a good idea. So this, our payment, our maximum payment would be, and this calculation comes from PERS. They've got a little calculator. They sent us these numbers for your minimum and maximum. Our maximum lump sum payment would be $1.6 million, and that 25% match would be $416,000 that they would be giving to us, basically. So that's dollars that we would otherwise not have access to. And we can also do anywhere up to that maximum. But in this, I'm proposing to do the full portion that we can in order to take advantage of the largest match. So this lump sum payment would go into basically a side account for PERS that essentially prepays future pension obligations. So it offsets all the actuarial studies show that the rates will continue to go up each biennium for the next 10 years or so. Those increases, if we have this site account, would be less. So less increase is less cost for the city that we pay for each employee. If the rates are on 25%, so an employee making $100,000, that's $25,000 that goes to PERS. that we pay. So as the rate increases, if we have an assigned account, it'll be less of an increase. So I can get into the, on page 3 of the packet, if you can see any of those numbers. This was a spreadsheet that was provided, that PERS provided us, and we had to plug in our specifics of our city. And it comes up with total projected payroll from 2017 through 2037. Then it has our projected projected contribution rates for Tier 1, Tier 2, and then OPSERP, which is basically Tier 3. So it has the projected rates for each biennium, and then in the red color, it has the projected site account rate offset. So that's it's about 3% offset. So you've also got the projected contributions and then the projected contributions with the site account. And the difference between those is, mm-hmm. is your savings mm-hmm. by having this site account. So the graphs following that kind of put that in a little bit easier. Understand the blue and pink graph, mm-hmm. the difference is your savings each biennium. And this is based on the full, taking advantage of the maximum that we're allowed. And then the next one is projected estimated total payroll. And this was part of their spreadsheet that I couldn't change very well, but it's based on a 7% increase year over year. And I would assume that we will be a little bit higher than that, than the 7%, given our growth and as we add employees and the COLA increases. So if we do increase higher than that 7%, then the savings is only going to be greater than I've displayed here. So that's something to take into account. On page 6, there's the broken down into just a simple table showing the cumulative savings contributions with site account and then contributions without site account.
Travis, can I ask a quick question?
Mm-hmm. Councilor Mommy, go ahead.
Thank you. On page 4, packet mm-hmm. page 4, mm-hmm. In the 2035, 2037 range, I noticed that it just significantly drops down. Is there a reason for that?
So that's finally. So if you look at the source mm-hmm. Data, which is on page 3, uh-huh. The very top line shows the projected rate growth. So
oh, okay.
finally,
so that's when it's
finally the rates are going to go down
okay.
because they've been increasing so high year after year, and there has been fixes, but mm-hmm. they're just going to take a lot of the fixes. I mean, having a tier 3,
gotcha.
The benefits are much greater reduced than tier 1 and tier 2.
Perfect. Okay.
So,
Brian?
Basically, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Bryant looked like he had something he wanted
I was
to say.
Going to add to something, but keep going.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So as Tier 1, Tier 2 retirees fall off the payroll.
Mm-hmm. That's when it's the new, like, yeah. okay. That's what I was thinking. I just
it's basically
wasn't
that's only fixes for
okay.
Tier 1, Tier 2 to go away.
Perfect. Thank you.
Council President Sherman.
Just a couple quick questions. So as part of the information inside accounts 101, you talk about how the site account is essentially, it's a prepaid, so it's not like even a depleting asset, it just goes away, right? I mean, it's like you're paying now for these next 10 plus years of impact. Mm-hmm. And we talk about a calculation where, you know, a site account of $2.1 million would save the city 3.6 over an 18-year period. And then as a contrast, we just show 2.1 or whatever, 900,000, so there's a net savings there. But isn't that 2.1 million, that's also including the 25% that has been contributed to that. So
yes.
It's actually a greater savings than that because we're actually only putting in 1.6-ish. So am I reading that correctly? So we're putting in 1.7. We would have earned 900,000 on the total amount. So it's we were really have only had 1.7 growing over that same period of time at that 2% rate. Isn't that?
Yes.
Okay.
So I've got a. Let's see.
So it's just that much better.
Right. Yeah.
So the savings on that is about 3.5 million, the cumulative savings. So you would have to, the original investment is 1.6 million.
Right, so you're putting in 1.6, you're getting a savings of 3.5 out of that contribution.
And so that difference is 2 million about.
So we're backing that out, okay.
Yeah, and then, so that 2 million.
But you would have earned 2% if you just had it in the LGIP.
Yeah. And that 2% could always go down lower than 2%. It probably doesn't go too much higher than 2% in the LGIP.
I mean, it seems reasonable. I mean, what's the downside?
I don't think there's a downside. And then, so the second part of this is the fact that we've got this reserve fund for rainy days, basically, a downturn. So this is only going to help us by decreasing pension costs, which will hamstring us. So it seems reasonable to use that those reserve funds for this purpose.
I do have a downside, a trade-off, is let's say you said, okay, well, maybe there's going to be PERS changes in the future and our increases aren't going to be as much because the state's going to do something and change something. And, you know, so that could be it. And then another one is you may say, well, we want to buy a property right now with that money instead of buying down future increases in PERS. But the fund that this would come out of is the General Operations Reserve, and there's a council policy on when those money can be spent, and it's on things like this or when there's an economic downturn. So this is a little bit outside of that policy. We do have money set aside in the other capital projects fund that could be used to buy property. So we have assets available to us to buy property, but if property was number one and you wanted to use all assets, then you may say, well, let's not do this, but it's not our recommendation.
I have a question. So this 1.6, do we give that to the state or do we keep it?
We send it to PERS.
Send it, and then they match, they put in 400.
Yep, and then that's our tight account.
It sits there and then it gets deducted from that as it's needed.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so we don't get any interest on it because it's gone.
Yeah, it's gone.
But it looks to me like it's a pretty substantial savings over the year for the city.
Yeah.
So that's kind of hard to argue with, I think. So
I think it's a proactive measure that, if we're able to do it now and basically save money for the future and be ahead of the game, we won't be hurting in the future. So, I mean, I appreciate the presentation and also the questions you asked too, but to me, it just seems like it's something that if we can do it now and save money for the future, we should really look at it.
Councilor Drake?
So how many tier one, tier two, and tier three do we have? Do you know that number of employees?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure, but we're about 80% OPSERP.
Okay.
Which is a good thing for our rates because those rates are lower.
Right.
So
I can't imagine.
We have very few tier one,
yeah,
a handful, few in the library, then the makeup, the difference is tier two.
Yeah,
right.
There's a big group of us, and then the majority is OPSERP. New employees are all OPSERP.
Okay, any other questions for Mr. Warnicki? Council President Sherman, do you have something?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you for the presentation. You're looking for
direction to move forward?
Direction to move forward, do we have that direction?
I say we move forward.
Do we have that direction?
Okay.
Yes.
Bring it back for the official resolution and.
Mr. Warnicki, you had something else?
Yeah, Mr. Tuck mentioned the policy, of the general operations reserve. We might have to bring that back too. We'll have to look at the specifics on that, if we need to tweak that to allow this specific payment, so.
That would be acceptable to everybody.
Yeah, and just to clarify, the motion is for the full amount, the max that we.
There's a motion at the present time, but it's consensus, yes.
Perfect.
For the full amount, yeah.
And that, that supplemental budget would only encompass the general operations reserve, and it would just move from the reserve for future expenditures into a, spendable line item.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Good.
Next order of business, council compensation, Mr. Tuck.
Thank you. So the last time council talked about this was July 2nd in work session, and at that time, the council gave me direction to move forward to design a process for, tackling this, this topic. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to come back to council and get consensus on the process that I've designed, and then move forward if that's the case. So what I'm proposing to do is to select five individuals that are either serving on committees now or have served on committees in the past or have been involved in the city. I'm not going to tell you who those are or ask for your acceptance or denial. I don't have the ability to create committees in the city, official committees. That has to be a council action. And I'm trying to keep, with council direction, said Mr. Tuck, you go forward and do this. What I'm trying to do is keep the council away from anything that looks like you are selecting people that are ultimately going to determine your compensation. So my approach would be to select five people, and we present all the materials, do all the background, the comps, the review all the legal issues, get their feedback. Their feedback is then what I bring back to council and say, okay, the committee, or not the committee, these five residents think X. And then you can use that to determine what you want to do next. If you want to go through, just adopt it or not, or put it off to a election or not, and then go for there. Other council direction to me was have diversity with the individuals, and also explore options on if council didn't want to receive any compensation, that they could donate their portion to a nonprofit or whatever. If the council directs me to move forward, I want to put some sidebars on the topic with the individuals. And I think what I heard is the council isn't saying move forward with a process that would generate or would come out with an outcome that would give us essentially a salary like an employee, like a full-time job or part-time job, but more in the realm of a stipend, an appropriate stipend within what other jurisdictions are doing and that sort of thing. So that's what I have so far. I would, if the council says move forward, what I'll do is I'll contact these individuals this week and see if they want to participate, and then we'll start meeting, probably 2 to 3 meetings. We can have this wrapped up and back to the council first part of 2020.
Councilor Drake.
So when you're putting this group together, and that's fine however you do that, what kind of options are they being presented with? Because we've talked in the past about not just a salary or compensation stipend, as you will. We've also, there's been discussion of paying for health insurance, or retiring, all those things that other cities do. So I don't know if you're presenting this kind of whole package to them and saying, here's all the options in front of you, or you just kind
of. That's what we will do.
Okay.
Is we will present them. We've already done a lot of the background work on what other cities provide, and within that is a few cities provide health insurance. I don't know if anyone picks up PERS. A lot of cities will waive water bills. Some get, a lot of cities will do that.
That's true, that's true.
Some will get, you know, a couple $100s a month. Some get, a couple thousand a year, you know, it's just kind of mix and match, and we'll provide them all of the comps.
Okay. We already
researched probably 20, 30 cities. We'll do more, present all that information to them with some sidebars. Sidebars that I'm proposing is that we're not looking for a wage. Council isn't thinking this is a wage compensation thing, right? And if the recommendation is to come back and provide a stipend of $50 a month, my recommendation to the council would be is to not go through this process for such a small amount, and instead turn in your receipts for your gas, mileage, and that sort of thing to get comped for those kind of expenditures. It's a lot of work to go through for very little money on the low end.
Councilor Drake, go ahead.
Quick comment. Other cities have gone through this process, and they've done that very thing. They put together a group of citizens, and they look at the compensation packages. So I think that's a good way to do it.
So through my research, I've seen, or research we've done, it's been accomplished a number of different ways.
Yeah.
It's been either done with resident input, council just adopting an amount and waiting to be for re-election cycles to come along before you can get it, to full-on ballot measures, to hiring outside consultants to go out and poll the community, which Milwaukee's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like the simplest way to try to achieve this in a quicker time frame.
I'll throw my two cents in. I'm comfortable with Mr. Tuck doing whatever. I don't want to be involved in it in any way. So whatever he proposes is okay with me as long as I'm not involved in it.
Yeah, I agree.
Anybody else?
I'm totally fine with it. I'm glad that you sounds like you're all over it. I guess just one thing to maybe make sure that's pointed out to them is the difference in maybe workload, I want to call it, between the mayor and the council.
Mm.
I think that's important to point out. I mean, I'm a busy guy, but I don't think I'm as busy as Mayor Ellis. So I do feel like that should be taken into consideration. And I don't know if you guys are going to be looking at that as a whole, as far as just, you know, count the council, or if there will be a separate deal for mayor and council. But I do feel like Tom puts in more time and has to travel more than the rest of us. So I do feel like that's something that should be.
It'll be part of the analysis. And as a matter of fact, most cities have it set up that the mayor gets a little bit more than the councilors.
Nothing for council for president, though.
Right. That's correct.
No, but I do think it's important.
So is the consensus to allow Mr. Tuck to continue what he's doing?
Yep.
Yes.
You know I'm against it.
Yes,
so,
I know.
I will say no, I'm not for council compensation. I'll be on the record once again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, the consensus is to move forward.
All right, thank you.
Okay, so we got quite a bit of time left here. So you want to do your city manager
here.
Report?
All Abilities Playground, the rubber base has been now finished, and we have the fences up. You have to leave them up or keep people off of it for 3 days because it's tacky and it can get messed up. So we're going to pull that down and on Friday, so there'll be kind of a soft opening on Friday so people can go out there and enjoy it. But then the main event is Saturday, noon to 2, right? Hopefully whoever can be there will be. I think it'll be a nice celebration. It's expected to rain cats and dogs. So
we have a covered area down there.
Go into the covered area and serve some hot dogs and have a good time.
Can you remind me what time it is?
Noon to 2.
Noon to 2. Okay.
Yeah.
Did we reserve the picnic area?
I'm sure we did.
Just checking.
Yeah,
it's a birthday party.
Domain.
Yeah,
exactly.
Giving a domain ourselves.
It's my birthday.
So we had the bid opening today for phase one of the super block. The engineer's estimate was $278,000, and the lowest bid came in at $233,000. So that was positive. They're getting all their paperwork to us now, so we don't know exactly when they're going to start, but they have to have it completed by the end of January. Then our project team has come up with a strategy moving forward that we're just going to do rolling bids for any segment that we get right away for and that we're ready to go. so it's not all held up by any kind of utility undergrounding or other right-of-way issues associated with a separate area. So if it's very clear, we get all the right-of-way, let's say, south of King Road, we'll be able to go in and get all that taken care of. So I think that'll be successful in trying to get this. People will see a lot of stuff going on in the next year, and we'll get a lot accomplished that way, rather than waiting to get everything done. So I think that'll be pretty good. The plans are finalized for the Veterans Park on City Hall here. We're planning to go out to bid in the spring. So we did get that $74,000 grant from State Parks. We also received $5,000 from the Realtor Association. And then we have $20,000 that was from the tourism grant. So we're putting together a lot of pieces of funding there. And then also Chris is going to go out and he's going to talk to the veterans group and see if they want to do any kind of fundraising component to it. And maybe there's another partnership also with Rotary. So we might be able to cobble together quite a bit and make a pretty good project out of it. So that's looking good. Joseph Brelio, our planning manager, has been working with Metro, Greater Portland Inc., Port of Portland, on what's called the Metro Employment Land Site Readiness Toolkit and Best Practices Project. Essentially what that does, is looks at sites and identifies challenges, opportunities, and creates a path to where they can get ready to develop. So our Rock Creek Employment Center was one of three projects selected in the entire metro region out of 57 projects. So we'll get free consulting money to do that, and might be a nice little economic development tool for us. Kind of related to that, well, kudos to Joseph for being involved and going through all that process and getting us that. I think it'll be helpful. Kind of related to the Rock Creek Employment Center, there's a rumor out there, I don't even know if I should say it on tape, but everyone's talking about it, is that Providence may be selling their site, the 69 acres down the future hospital site. There's also discussion that it may not be a hospital, but it may turn into a medical office buildings, different flavor than a hospital. So we're not sure. We're kind of waiting to hear official communications, but we're hearing this through brokers and thought you should be aware that that word may be out on the street. If that is the case, I mean, the last 15 years of work we went through is kind of, now what? Might have to come up with a new vision for that area. But, so.
Councilor Drake.
Are you contacting Providence directly?
I have. That was about a month ago, and they told me they're absolutely not selling the site. And then we were told last week by a broker that word came down from San Francisco that they're marketing the site to sell. So, okay. Who do you believe?
So mixed messages.
Mixed messages. But there's a lot of talk out there. A lot of people are talking, so be aware. That's all I have.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do our councilor comments and concerns, if that's all right with everybody. Councilor Mommy.
All right, I'll kind of start with the recap of the last the few things I've done since our last meeting, and then I did have something I wanted to bring up, too. A concern, I guess. So, let's see, I attended the police levy open house at the traffic and public safety meeting. That went really well. Also attended with Councilor Drake, the Westview Homeowners Association meeting, which also went really well, and they had a pretty good turnout for an HOA, I have to say. We also attended, Councilor Drake and I, the Mount Scott Elementary School PTA meeting, and that was really insightful. That's a tricky one because some of the residents that go to that, have children at that school, are Happy Valley residents and some aren't. But overall, even the non-Happy Valley residents seem pretty concerned and supportive of the levy. So that was something that we went out to. I also had a meeting with Janelle Bynum. First time her and I've had a chance to really sit down and talk, and that was really insightful and helpful. Let's see, I had a meeting with one of our members of the Traffic and Public Safety Committee, attended Rotary, also attended the Chain of Survival event where our own Officer Kennedy, Todd Kennedy, and Chief Anderson were honored, as well as Happy Valley resident Jeff Argbright. They basically all worked together and saved someone's life, and we were able to watch them get reunited with the person whose life they saved, which was really cool. And then also attended the Harvest Festival and Oktoberfest, and once again, as always, our staff just knocked it out of the park, did a tremendous job. I especially liked the Harvest Festival portion. I thought that was really neat. And Oktoberfest was definitely the talk of the town. It seems like the whole city was there, so really successful. The one thing I did want to bring up was, so yesterday was Columbus Day, and you know, I've been kind of thinking about that for a while, and you know, Columbus Day is an interesting holiday because it's one that some places recognize as Columbus Day, and other cities recognize it as other names. I also saw a post that Councillor Golubee did on his Facebook celebrating Indigenous Peoples Day. And it's got me thinking. My kids have asked me, what's Columbus Day? And, you know, everyone tells them Columbus discovered America and, you know, all that stuff. But really, he discovered a land that had people already there. So, you know, Councillor Golubee and I spoke a little bit, and not sure what the council would be in support of or in favor of, but I'd like to see Columbus Day and Happy Valley change to Indigenous Peoples Day. So I'm just gonna throw that out there to everybody, but I just think that the Indigenous people that were here before Columbus should have the respect that they don't really get. So often overlooked population, and I think it'd be a good thing for us to do. So I'm just gonna throw it out there to the group, and I don't know what everyone else's thoughts are on it, but I think it would be a nice gesture for the city. And I also think that the staff should have that day off. You guys were working on Monday, I know, because I had to meet with Manager Tuck, but I think that I'd like to see that be a paid holiday for the city so people can actually respect and honor the Indigenous people that were here before us. And that's my soapbox.
Okay. Thank you, Councillor Mommy. Councillor Golubee.
You're talking for, you want any comments on his comment?
Oh, well, I wasn't going to take any comments.
Okay.
We can. I mean, we normally don't. We would.
That's fine. So I can go right into mine. I attended the Clackamas County Fire District Chain of Survival, and not only the ones that you mentioned, but there were actually a lot of firefighters that were up there that are all Happy Valley residents.
Yeah,
so
right.
Happy Valley was extremely well represented in people saving lives. So it's great to see our citizens out there making a positive difference. It was also great to see the people who had survived, you know, these cardiac arrests, and it was at times very difficult not to cry, but you know, David slugged me in the arm and kept me on the straight and narrow, so I wasn't up there blubbering like a fool. I attended Harvest Fest and Oktoberfest, and to echo Councillor Amami, it was an amazing, absolutely amazing event, especially given this being our first year of combining both of these. You know, you have beer in the park, you wonder if that's going to cause issues. For the most part, there were not issues. It was managed really well. Obviously, there are things that can be improved upon, and I'm sure that your staff is going to work on that. The one thing that I think I would say is a little bit more differentiation between who's responsible for what, because mm-hmm. I think the city at times was getting blamed for things that weren't within the city's necessarily quote-unquote control. And so I don't know how you can communicate that message and not seem like they're two separate events, but you know, of course I want to protect our city and protect our city's image. So just some food for thought there. While I was there, I helped man the police levy booth. A few people came by, kids got some stickers to give the kids, had some good conversations. Everyone that I talked to is very, very positive. Seemed to, once you explained what was going on, they're like, oh yeah, that's a no-brainer. Had a meeting with the president of Clackamas County Professional Firefighters Local Union, and they were gracious enough to endorse our political action committee and our campaign and donate $1,000. So it's great to have those partnerships with our first responders. In addition to that, I've been on the phone and working a lot on the PAC, trying to get things ready, signs, all that. So busy on that side. Coming up, I have the All Abilities Park ribbon cutting, the HVBA, the legislative forum, and any HOA meetings that I can make it to with my evening schedule, I will. And since it's still my opportunity, I completely concur with Councilor Mommy in regards to the city recognizing Indigenous people. I can go on record and say I am biased. I am married to a Turtle Mountain Chippewa whose family has land on that reservation. They face some atrocities, and I think that it would be a good thing for the diversity in our community to recognize the Indigenous people. So that's everything I got.
Thank you, Councilor Roby. Councilor Drake.
Oh, me next?
It's your turn.
Okay. Lots of things going on, but I would have to say as my first comment, I kind of agree with David and David.
Councilor Golby and Councilor Amon.
Yes.
David Square.
Okay. On the Indigenous people recognition, I think that's something I'd be proud to see the city do that on October 14th, or November, I mean October, place of Columbus Day is what I was trying to say. I agree with him. And Columbus really didn't discover America. He discovered some islands, but let's not go into that. I attended all the things, like David said. I thought the Oktoberfest was wonderful, wonderfully attended. People were very happy there. I've talked to people since then that attended the event. Some people that didn't attend the event but heard about it and said it was just wonderful. So kudos to staff again for doing such a great job on that. Traffic and Public Safety Committee meeting, which Mayor Ellis was at, David Nami was at. One of the things they talked about was backyard burning. And so the group is going to invite the fire department to come in, I think at their next meeting, I'm not sure if it's going to happen in November or December, to talk about fire safety as it relates to backyard burning. And I think once the committee goes through that process, they may come up with some recommendations to the city to make some adjustments or do something with the backyard burning. There were some people there that presented, but I think presented 13 years ago to get backyard burning banned at the time. And we did discuss it 13 years ago. When we discussed the ban portion, we had about 50 to 70 people in the annex, and they were all very angry that we were talking about banning. But certainly the demographics in the city, I think, have changed for 13 years. So I don't know that we get that same reaction today that we did 13 years ago. And so I think it's something that people want to look at for neighborhood livability, et cetera. Should we be reducing or getting rid of backyard burning in the city? So more to come with that, but I'd like to leave it in the hands of the Traffic Safety Committee to come up with their, go through their process and make recommendations to the council. Attended all the same things. Jill did a lot of, which you attended, the HOA meetings and so forth, which I think went well. Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, they really
and the PTAs, I think people really looked at that. At the one HOA meeting, people mentioned Airbnbs and problems with them. And so I think that's something at some point we probably need to talk about. I don't know how many complaints we're getting. The people in this HOA said it's bad. They don't like them. It's the party houses kind of thing, and so that may be something in the future we also want to talk about. Attended the West Electeds Forum. Russ couldn't be there, he had surgery, the mayor of West Lynn. We talked about several things. That's still kind of people talking through a lot of issues, and I think at the next meeting that we can kind of bring some of those things together and kind of point out a direction in which the committee wants to go in. As you recall, that's a meeting to talk about governance or control of sewer rates and sewer SDCs. So I think that's something that we should still be involved in. There's a West Advisory Committee meeting coming up, and the Electeds Forum coming up. Of course, we're going to be attending the All Abilities Park opening. I also have a equity conference that day, diversity conference, put on by cities in Clackamas County. That's in Lake Oswego. So we'll be going to that early in the morning. Coming back here, we have our equity work group tomorrow night, and they're going to be talking about, of course, forming a committee. What does that involve? What does that look like? We'll get him back to council as we kind of talk through those issues. And so can I inform you on transportation planning? Oh, I talked to the R1 Act group, and I talked to people from ODOT. Unfortunately, there is no money designated for planning or anything else for Sunrise Phase 2 at this point. And I think that they can, hopefully we can change that, but currently today, nothing's appropriated. So I don't know, I think that's gonna take some legislative input, frankly, from our legislators to see if we can't intervene and try and push that thing into the forefront, because I think that'd be very important for all of us. And they talked a little bit about C2C stuff. The problem with that C2C issue is Gresham is my personal opinion from the conversation, Gresham was kind of dragging their feet on their portion of it, because it's gonna go through either East Portland or part of Gresham, and both of them are going, well, we don't really wanna do it, we don't really wanna do it. It's kinda like, we need to get that portion kind of fixed. And again, this may take legislators, Shamia Fagan and others, saying, you gotta fix this thing. Because I think it's important for the area, for the community. We're talking about reducing congestion, certainly on 205, and so I think that's a good point. Right now, the R1 Act, ODOT is not looking at that until the cities and the counties all get together and say, here's what we want to do. So that's kind of where that's at least from my information. I think Metro may be looking at it as well. You may have some more information on that, Brett, that you can share. So sewer things, that I think that's about everything. Feed the Homeless is next week. I'm going to do that down at the service center. I invite you all to come down. Feed the Homeless. It's a good experience. It's a lot of fun. And I think that's about it, except one last thing. I'm not going to be making the next city council meeting because I'll be on the Big Island.
Oh, wow.
Enjoying the sun and surf and...
For you.
I've talked to so many people lately.
That's the first one in November?
Yeah.
Yeah, I won't be here either. I'm on the Big Island as well.
Are you?
You guys staying together?
Yeah. What are we going to get done, guys? What do we want to get done?
So you're going to be staying on the Kona side?
Yeah.
Yeah. Have to hook up?
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll be there.
Okay, so there's only going to be three of us, but that's still a quorum, so we can still have a meeting if you have it scheduled.
Quite a bit on the agenda.
I'm sorry.
Hopefully nothing controversial. Let me take a
And I didn't know if we could, if there is an executive session that I'd certainly want to call in. I'm sure David
would. Yeah, I can call in.
So. Yeah, we could do the call-in thing if we have to.
Yeah. I don't know if there is one or not.
I don't like to bother people on their vacation, but I guess if it was...
There's important things. That's what we signed up for.
The only executive session that I had pre-scheduled here was my review, but we can kick that off to...
We can do that.
Oh, that can go like to 2020 at some point.
Fine by me. Keep pushing it off.
Jason, that'll only take like 3 minutes, so hey.
We have an annual report to council on our accomplishments. Resolution terminating an IGA with Clackamas County. Resolution supplemental budget for the PERS side account, SDC credit code updates, election code updates, and Scrivener's error language. Some of those are pretty small, easy things. I would like everyone to be here for the annual report to council, so I think we'll put it off.
Push that back.
Push it off, which leaves the work session open. Maybe that's fine since we're only going to have three people in. We'll do that, and then we'll push my city manager review also on to December 3rd. But remember, we don't have a meeting November 19th because the majority of the council is leaving that day for National League of Cities Conference in San Antonio.
Right. Okay.
Move it around.
All right. Council President, sure.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's see. I attended the... there you go. The North Clackamas Chamber had a policy session. Metro Councilor Lewis presented the upcoming parks bill. Very, very interesting information, and looks like there are a number of different buckets of funding sources that will be available to Happy Valley going forward. They're dedicating money for trails and more complex projects and things like that. So that's got some potential big positive for us. Also attended the Parks Advisory Committee, did their police levy presentation. NCPRD District Advisory Board is always an enjoyable evening. It's the DAB is just in complete disarray right now. So it's in the process of trying to start the rewriting of the bylaws, and it didn't go anywhere in 2 hours. So it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out. Attended Rotary, had a meeting with Mark Meek, also talking about park issues and things like that. Clackamas Community College did their science expansion grand opening. That was very cool. Really neat facility. Made me want to go back to school. Oktoberfest, I will concur with everyone else. Oktoberfest was a very, very enjoyable day. Really well put together. A lot of positive feedback at the police levy booth. A number of individuals that don't live in Happy Valley wanted to know how they could vote for it, so I thought that was very helpful. I told them to just get a ballot and check it out. Coming up, I've got C4 Metro Subcommittee this week, Rotary Public Art Committee. I will also be at the All Abilities Park ribbon cutting, and then the Legislative Forum. So I think we're all coming to the Legislative Forum, aren't we, here at City Hall? Have we got RSVPs back from some other legislators?
Sounds like we are going to have Rep. Reardon and Rep. Bynum.
Okay, is cool. Sounds good. I don't think anybody's planning on going to the T2020 thing at Evernethys.
We're
going to
send staff.
Okay, sounds good. So that's all I've got.
Thank you, Council President. I've been fairly busy. Let's see, on the second, I attended municipal court for a little while. I talked to the judge, watched a couple trials, which I do from time to time just to see how that goes. Very interesting. This last week, I think every night except for one, I was somewhere speaking about the police levy, and I'm not going to go into all of them, but somewhere. On Tuesday, I did a police ride-along with Deputy Ferguson for a few hours, which was, I mean, we didn't really do much other than drive around, but it was interesting and informative, and I guess just as soon as I got out of the car, then they had all kinds of action going on, so I missed it. So, but anyway, it's I encourage anybody that wants to do that to do that. He's very proactive and appeared to do a really good job. I was really impressed. Councilor President Sherman, Steve Campbell, and myself attended the Clackamas County Police Officers Association and talked to them, and they were gracious enough to give us a fairly large donation, and we were very appreciative of that. I went to the Clackamas Community College Science Expansion with Council President Sherman. Beautiful facility, a lot of people there, and just great. They have a whale hanging from the ceiling. That was kind of interesting. Oktoberfest, along with everybody else, and the police booth, Council Gillaby and Council Sherman was correct. We got a lot of positive comments from people asking us how things go, and I was happy to see that. I guess that's about it. I can't think of anything else. Chain of Survivals, went to that, along with Council Gillaby, Council Romani. Unlike the other two, I did kind of tear up a little bit, I must say.
It's hard not to.
It was a bit of a tearjerker.
I teared up, I just didn't fall.
Just didn't go.
Yeah. There's a difference.
Yeah, it was, especially when there's children involved.
Yeah,
it can be a little bit of a tearjerker there, but it was the most attended one. I've been to those before, and there was more people there than I had ever seen. There was people standing out in the hallways. So it was really well attended, and I was really happy to see that. So that was really a good deal. And then, of course, our own Officer Todd was there, and it was a great thing. So anyway, that's about all I had. I have. Anything anybody has to continue on here with anything? Otherwise, we'll take a break, and then we'll do our council meeting at 7.
Cool.
So we are adjourned.